Hi, welcome to Power of the Middle Podcast. I'm your host, Merle Amos. After years of feeling stuck and letting fear and self-doubt call the shots, I've come to realize that true personal growth comes from embracing the journey and finding value in the middle moments. This podcast is your go-to for real talk. We dive deep into stories, share practical tools, and offer insights to help us break free from playing small and use our voice to live a life more intentionally. Get ready to explore the power of the middle between where you are and where you want to be. Together, we'll navigate the path towards confidence, success, and authenticity. So are you ready? Let's unlock your next level. Hello and welcome back to the pod. Today is going to be a Q&A episode, your questions from Instagram. Let's just jump right in. The first question is, when I go to meetings, I get so nervous that I freeze. Do you have any tips? Yes. The first thing I do is the number one thing that I do before any meeting, before any important phone call, is I mental rehearse. Mental rehearsing is just picturing it in your mind before it happens. So it is what you're going to wear, how you're going to be, how you're going to act. You don't necessarily know what is going to be said in the meeting, but you know how you are going to be. And you kind of, like an actress in your mind, play the movie, and you're able to picture it in your mind where it automatically eliminates some of those nerves. Now, going into meetings, so I've been in many meetings. I also work as a licensor design coordinator. So I've been in meetings with, you know, Nickelodeon, Disney, Laura Ashley. And what I can tell you is to always maintain eye contact. It is such a practice, I know. But when you maintain eye contact and you speak and you walk in and use the tone of voice, you're able to really connect with the other person in the meeting. And just remember, like, they are a human just like you. They have nerves. They have targets that they need to get to. They have emotions and feelings. So you're just speaking to just another human. And if it makes you feel any better, words, communication is 38% tonality, which is the tone of your voice, and 55% physiology, which is your body language, how you're sitting, how you're standing, and 7% words. So when you focus on making the eye contact, the tone of voice you're using, and how you're being, and how you're sitting, and how you're introducing yourself, really, the words will just come naturally based on the flow of the meeting. So again, it is mental rehearsing, who you are being, how you're entering the room, and also just building that relationship, because it all comes down to communication and building the relationship with the other person. I remember when I would work with Disney and I would need approvals by certain times, and we were just a very last minute company. And because I built the relationships, even if it's just through email, the turnaround would be so quick. And also, communication is via email. How you write the email, take the time, address them by their name. Just all of that matters in presenting who you are and building the relationship with the other human on the other end. Okay, next question. I want to start a podcast, but I am scared. Do you have any advice? Okay, the first thing is, what are you afraid of? Are you afraid of the work that it takes? Are you afraid of the consistency? Are you afraid to use your voice? So that's the first question I would ask you, is what are you afraid of? And then I would say, why do you want to start the podcast? When you focus on the why and the compelling reason that you want to start the podcast, it becomes more mission focused and less about you. Because there is so many emotions that come up with starting a podcast. First, there's all the back end work that comes with it, you know, all the tactical things like the microphone, the podcasting host, you know, all the logistics, which that is easy. You could just make a list, get to work. If you could even hire someone to help you with those things. And then it becomes the editing and all the software and that. The next thing is you.
you against you. The emotions come up, the fear, the self-doubt, the nerves of what am I going to say and who's going to listen to me and what's the point? And with all that, I will say is just honestly do it. Practice, get on. You'll be surprised the impact that you can make. Make it more about the vision and the why you're doing it. It takes away from it being about you. So then you show up anyway. What's been the biggest lesson you've learned so far this year? Oh, so many lessons. Okay. One of the biggest lessons I learned is that in my low moments, I can tap into my high frequency tools. So some mornings I don't wake up in the best mood and I don't wake up ready to go and all energized. And I have to really rely on certain tools to get me there. And sometimes it takes me 10 minutes and sometimes it takes me an hour. And it's just about, I lean into prayer, breath work, walking. And I also make sure to truly not go on my phone or answer my phone before a certain time. I let those things slide where I was just like, oh, I'm good. You know, I don't need to, I don't need to practice these things anymore. Like I'm good. And then I noticed that it slowly by slowly, I started to just wake up and feeling blah and feeling a little low. And I was like, oh, I know what to do. I know what to do. And some days I wake up amazing and energized. And that is one of the biggest lessons I have been learning. Also, I have been another lesson is, well, it's kind of more of a mantra, but I have to get out of my head and go into like, God can do anything. God sees all. Like a lot of times when I want to respond to certain things that are going on, or I want to react or like say things or try to like bring in the truth, I'm very now saying, you know what? I'm good. Like I'm going to protect my peace. God sees all. Let God take care of it. So just like all those mini lessons, I should say, that I have been learning this year. And next question, if you could inspire someone to do one thing, what would it be? Oh, I would inspire that person to take the time to sit in silence, to be still, to be able to listen to her thoughts, to be able to listen to what's going on in her body, in her mind, to really connect with her intuition. And you can do that through mindfulness practices like breathwork, meditation, yoga. Yoga combines all of that because you're able to not only sit still, but also move the energy in your body. And I think that is the one thing that I would inspire someone to do. Because in the silence, they're able to hear their voice and hear what they're thinking without all the outside noise coming in and the pressure and the what is expected of us and all the emails we need to get to and the conversations we need to have. So really in the silence and in the feeling, so many answers come through you in those moments. Okay. Ooh, I'm liking these questions. What would I say to someone on their healing journey? I am currently on my healing journey and I feel that I get stuck in negative thought loops and there's just so much to heal. Ooh, deep question. The first thing that's coming to my mind, actually to my heart, is saying your healing journey doesn't need to be so deep all the time. It doesn't. It can be really simple. Yes, there's certain parts that we need to go back and we need to address and we want to come to terms with. And then there's other parts where we could just be like, you know what? I did the best I can. Or if this is going back into parent stuff, they did the best they can with what they could. And sometimes it could be so simple. And then yes, it is deep. And what I would say is to not really get so stuck in the past. And sometimes we could like uncover things and then we could be like, if only I did this, if only I did that. So really stay in tune with not being in judgment of yourself and in judgment of others, and to step into this place of curiosity and move through it. And again, some things are much deeper where you're going to need some guidance, especially if you're doing like inner child work or things that go much deeper than that. And sometimes it could be as simple as, I see you, I'm fine, I'll take it from here. So it could really be like the ebb and flow of it being simple and then also it going deeper. But really to just not stay stuck in that is to just keep moving forward and staying in today, right? So again, it comes back to a mindfulness practice, because when you're sitting still, your mind goes to the future and the present, but your body is right here, right now. And your breath anchors you to the present moment. So just the simplicity of taking a deep breath, even if you turn on an app, you know, I do Melissa Wood Health, I do Mastery Breath Work, and just letting them guide you into it. It could be so freeing, because you could see how the mind is traveling to the past, but all you have is this present moment. So just keep coming back to the now and how you want to move forward, and then not get so stuck in the past or how you showed up or how someone said something to you or how someone showed up to you. Just really try to be present with all of it. And to go a level deeper is just ask yourself, who do you need to forgive? What do you need to let go of? So it's just that ebb and flow of healing and also being in the now. Our next question, which I just brought her up, is what did it feel like to meet Melissa Wood Health? Well, her name is Melissa Wood Tepperberg, but we know her as Melissa Wood Health. It was great. So I went last week. She offered an in-person class. That a few things I learned was, one, again, get in the room, put yourself in the experience, because you can go in and being in so much fear of what are they going to think, or can I keep up with a class? It's amazing what your body could keep up with when you're in a room that inspires you and energizes you, and you're doing it as a collective. And then also, no one gives a shit. Like, everyone's so focused on themselves, on taking their pictures and photos and doing basically their work. So that was interesting. Three, you can meet so many new people, which I absolutely love. And about Melissa is that she is exactly what you see on camera, which was so inspiring, because exactly what you see on camera, exactly what you see in her classes, in her meditations, is exactly who she is in person. So heart-centered, so grounded. She took the time to like take pictures with everyone, speak to everyone, talk to everyone. And I found that to be so inspiring, to be who you are all of the time versus like wearing all these hats. Like, now I'm going to be a mom. Now I'm going to work here. Now I'm going to be a coach. Now I'm going to be grounded. Now I'm going to be. So it was just like being you in all those areas was just like inspiring, to just see that who she is off camera is who she is on camera. And I say that from experience, because there's so many people that I've met along the journey where they aren't who they are on camera. It's completely different off. And it kind of makes you think like this whole social media can be so fake, but yet it could be so real at the same time. So I just think that if you have the opportunity to go into one of her in-person classes, like, do it. What's my go-to affirmation? Okay, my go-to affirmation right now that I am working on is, I am a finisher. I have such a hard time finishing books, finishing Netflix series, finishing things in general. So I don't know, there's just some feeling about finishing, like it feels so like, now what? So I'm really working on finishing books, and finishing series is just like, well, no, I don't want it to end. And just really working through that. I think it's pretty interesting. It's pretty interesting, the feeling that I get. And also, again, like, I just have like some go-to mantras that really ground me into faith. Like, again, God can do anything. God sees all. I accept what is. I'm grateful for what is. Just like things like that. And I will say, with affirmations, you have to, yes, it's so powerful, the things that come after I am, but they also have to feel believable in your body. You can't just throw words, because if your body doesn't believe it, and if you don't believe it, then that's exactly what they are, just words. And you could try to say it over time. And then, you know, some say, oh, eventually you'll believe it. Belief work is a lot deeper than that sometimes. So just try to come up with something that feels believable in your body, and repeat just 1 to 2 a day just try to find something that is believable to you where it feels good. And then that will be very helpful, especially to silence the inner critic, to get things done. Oh, tips for building self-trust. Next, that's the next question. Self-trust, one of my favorite topics. Okay, so many. First of all, I have a podcast episode on that. And self-trust is really, it's just connecting to who you are. Well, not just, but there's so many layers. Like you can trust yourself in certain areas and not in others, but it always comes back to you and knowing yourself. So it can begin with like knowing your values, knowing your strengths and your weaknesses, knowing your standards, what you like, what you don't like, what you will tolerate, what you won't tolerate. I know those are very deep questions, and like that's what I work on with my clients. And it's just such a beautiful experience to really get to know yourself, because it all begins there. And then there's like little tips that I can give where like self-trust begins with using your voice, right? Really using your voice in the nail salon, in the hair salon. Notice where you are apologizing all the time, saying I'm sorry for things that either are not your fault, either you don't need to say I'm sorry for. All the moments in your day where you're saying yes and you mean no, and where you're saying no and you mean yes. The moments, especially I'm noticing this with like girls that just get married, they have such a hard time communicating with their husband. So they just are allowing their husbands to like dictate where they go, what they do, how much they spend. And I'm going to like thread lightly here, but there's so much power in using your voice. Like just because you're going to say what you want and what you need, it doesn't make you a bitch. It doesn't make you like him any less. It's called communication. And through communication, you're able to meet in the middle and you're able to compromise and you're able to talk on things that, you know, feel uncomfortable. But if you're just going to keep going with the whatever you want, whatever you say, then you really, it's slowly by slowly and over time, it starts to chip away at your self-trust. And then it compounds into you becoming miserable. That's the honest truth. It just compounds into this, and then you become resentful. But really, he's not a mind reader. And you have the power, and you have to learn how to speak for what you want and what you need. And it doesn't take away from what he needs and what he wants. And then you meet in the middle, and not only do you build your communication with him, but you also build that trust in yourself. And in another area, trust goes into your decision making, right? Trusting your voice, trusting your decisions, your choices. We can get so stuck in indecision, and I feel that indecision is a decision. When you don't make a decision, that is a decision that you are making. And when you outsource your decisions, like asking your husband, asking your mother, asking your friends, asking your sister, I'm not saying that you shouldn't ask people. I think advice is great, especially when they are, you know, have more experience, or you're asking advice from people where you want to be. I think that can be so beneficial to you. But I also think that you have to jump in and make your own decisions. And that goes back to listening to your intuition, which is your inner wisdom, listening to your gut. You can also use your mind, which is your, of course, your rational brain, your reasoning brain, and then ask your heart as well, which is like your emotional intelligence. When you make decisions from those three areas, your mind, your heart, and your gut, you begin to truly trust yourself, because you know that no matter what, you'll figure it out. And as you build that trust in decision making, then you will also detach from the outcome, because you know that no matter what happens, you have your own back. So self-trust is really the foundation, I believe, to everything. Because from there, using your voice, making decisions, getting to know yourself, that's where self-confidence is built, by doing the things that you want to do, by making the choices, by falling and getting up, by asking what's the lesson, by trusting God. So that is the foundation to really, I believe, everything. Okay, that was a great question, and I'm very passionate about women trusting themselves, trusting their voice, and speaking up when they need to speak up, and always in a nice way. Okay, next question. How do you balance your job, coaching, and being a mom? Oof, balance. Let's talk about balance. So balance is a state of being, right? Like think of a surfboard. You're surfing on the wave and you know, you have to balance a little bit right, a little bit left. So now it's really just a state of being. How long can you stay there for? I believe in life, balancing, let's say the job, coaching, being a mom, yourself, care, all of it, you have to pull from somewhere. Like some seasons, you're going to prioritize your job more than anything. Some season, you're going to prioritize your self-care. It has to pull from anything. So you will be giving one area of your life or of yourself more attention. And then the other areas, it doesn't mean that you have to let go of the other areas. It just means this gets a little more attention now. This will get a little less attention, but I'm still focusing on it all. And it just goes back to like prioritizing what's important to you right now. And being a mom is just, it's who I am. It is a constant balance, but it's also not being so set on, well, depending on the age of your children, not being so set on how things should be and how things go. Like sometimes things just have to roll and we move through it and we have fun. Like I said, it really depends on the age of your child. When they're younger, it's easy to just control so much. Put them on a schedule, drive them to school, make dinner, go to bed at a certain times. When they're older, they need a little bit more of you. So, and then also a little less of you. Oh, coaching. Oh, that's just like my passion. So I just feel like that comes a little bit. I'm prioritizing that right now, like showing up, recording the podcast, pouring more into that. And then my job, which I don't normally talk about, but yes, I do have a job where I work for over 20 years. Like I said, as a licensed design coordinator, I love the relationships that I build. I love the communication. I love the business aspect. I also love challenging people when they're writing emails and just really being specific. Like, what do you want specific? Like I challenge their communication and I see how uncomfortable they get. So I also love that aspect of it. Balance is just such a difficult thing to achieve, but also it goes back to just chunking down and asking yourself, what are my priorities in this season, reflecting, moving forward, and just making a plan and being okay with pivoting. A lot of pivoting in my life. I pivot all the time. Okay, next question. How can I manage the pressure of our community where I feel like I always need to keep up? Ooh, my first thing that comes to my mind is what are your standards for yourself? Ask yourself that. What are your values? What do you need? Where is the pressure coming from? Also, what makes you feel good? Like sometimes pressure is good. It really is. Sometimes it pushes you. Sometimes it makes you show up. Sometimes the pressure that you feel allows you to get things done. Like I'm like a healthy procrastinator because when I procrastinate, I get, it like puts me under this, like, I would say pressure to get things done at a certain time. And I love the adrenaline rush of that. So it could be a good thing. It's all how you look at it. Like they are, our community is just so amazing. So much goodness, so much togetherness, so much connection. And then there's other parts where, you know, can actually, you know, bring out things in you. So like, what is triggering? Like, what is it bringing out in you? Because most likely it's something that you truly want. So just ask yourself better questions. And again, get to know your standards, your values, the places that you like to go to, the places that you don't like to go to. Say yes to the things that you like. Say no to the things that you like. And if you're younger and you're faced with the pressure of looking a certain way and being a certain way or anything like that, I would get out of your phone. Get out of your phone. Get out of your head and into your heart and into your life, because we use that phone as such a crutch. One, we're scrolling and scrolling, especially I see this in the younger generation, is we begin scrolling and scrolling and we see the highlight reel and we think that everyone has it all together and everyone is perfect, but everyone has strength and weaknesses and everyone is posting the best moments of their life, which is great, but there is so much more to just what you see on social. Also, when we go somewhere that's uncomfortable and when they go to parties, you'll see so many people on their phone. Either they're documenting the experience, either they're scrolling. No, put your phone away, make eye contact, speak to people, get out of your comfort zone. I know this is easier said than done, but it's so much better living with intention and not using your phone as a coping mechanism or as a crutch to keep you safe. Put it away at one event, at one party, and communicate with people. Communicate with people you don't even normally speak to, and you'll see how amazing the connection can get. Okay, let's see if we have any other questions. How to fully integrate the most hidden parts of you. Okay, that is a very deeper question. So the hidden parts of you, I'm assuming this person meant like the subconscious parts of you, the shadow parts of yourself, how to fully integrate it. Like I said, that is just such a deeper question where sometimes that's like a lot of inner child work. So sometimes you would need deeper therapy or a trauma-informed coach with that. Or it's just, again, if I keep it on a simple terms, it's just asking those parts of you, what do you need? What is that teaching me? Especially if it's like inner child or an experience that you keep replaying over and over again, that is bringing you back to the emotion of what you were feeling. And it's been like 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. Really just close your eyes, try to go back to that experience and see what you needed then and bring it into today. And tell yourself, like, I'm good. So that just goes into a whole nother level. But I hope I answer that in a simple, simple form. Okay. I have a hard time accepting myself. I am scared that if I accept myself, I won't change. Ooh. Okay. The first thing I would ask you is, what are you making accepting yourself mean? Are you making accepting yourself mean that you won't change? Are you making it mean that, is there a fear? Are we talking about accepting your body as it is? Are we talking about accepting your life? There's so many components to this, but I'm going to go with accepting you as you are. And I believe that when you accept yourself, it can also mean that you deserve more, that you deserve your goals, that you deserve to have better self-talk, speak to yourself a little bit better and see from there what changes you need to make, right? So changes come from behaviors. It's what you're doing, the actions you're doing. And acceptance and self-esteem comes from who you are. So self-esteem is who you are and behaviors are what you do. When we overlap that, when we make what we do determine who we are, that can cause a lot of pain. It can cause a lot of judgment and really just begin to separate the two. Like, this is who I am, which it could be like you're capable, you are determined, you're willing to try new things. It's who you are. It's you're loyal, you're loved. It's just what makes you you. And then your behaviors is the actions that you take. So many times we don't like the way we're showing up or the actions and the things that we're doing. So that you can shift and ask yourself, what are you making it mean about you? Because once we begin to separate who we are from what we do, we begin to just speak a little nicer about yourself. And you also are able to see a little bit clearer the things that you want, and then you're able to break it down. And then self-esteem is just that you are worthy as you are right now for the things that you desire, for the things that you want. And then self-confidence comes from the things that you do and the commitments that you keep to yourself daily. It's feeling the fear and taking action anyway. So definitely begin to just separate those two. And if you need help with that, you can message me and we could go a little bit deeper on that, because it is a practice. But I feel that once you have the awareness, like, oh, I'm making it mean this and I'm making it mean that, you're able to separate it. And you're able to tell yourself, like, I'm doing these things and it takes away nothing from who I am. Okay, next question. I feel drained all the time. Every day just feels the same. I feel depleted. Do you have any advice? Okay. I would tell you to do an energy audit. Well, I would recommend that you do an energy audit, which is see where your energy is going on a scale of 1 to 5. For one day, for 2 days, for 3 days, just like call it like an observation day and just really audit where your energy. It's how you feel from the moment you wake up. What are you doing when you wake up? Are you grabbing your phone right away? Because if you're grabbing your phone right away, you just gave all your energy to what is going on outside of you, which is what is going on in the world. It can be the news, which is so all fear-based. It can be what other people are doing, and it could be your texts, your emails, and you just lose that momentum of connecting to yourself. So I would definitely say, don't change anything the first few days. Just observe what you do and then really just open your notes app and write, okay, I feel this way after this, like from 1 to 5. 1, like you have no energy, made you feel like shit. 5, that lit you up. And just start to begin, like going for lunch with friends, I feel great. Or answering that phone call and hearing the other person complain for an hour. Wow, that really took a lot. Just like certain things like that. And then you're able to see where you are not feeling so good to where you are feeling so good. And then from there, you're able to tweak a little things, right? Let's tweak 1 or 2 things. Also, one thing about when you're feeling drained is, what are you doing with your time? Is there something meaningful that you're doing? What is meaningful to you? When you do things that are meaningful to you, it could be volunteering, it could be working on a project, it could be working on your passion, it can be helping someone else. When you use your time and you use those meaningful moments by getting out of your head, you're able to feel energized. It gives you that feeling of intentionality. So I would just get to the root of all of that. And also, if you are going to therapy, or if you do have a coach and you're currently feeling drained, that 1 hour therapy call, that 1 hour coaching call is so important, because you begin the steps of releasing, of, you know, discovering what you want, or healing from the past, or anything like that. But it's what you do between those calls that are so important. That's why, like with my clients, I have Voxer. It's like a voice messaging app where they can jump in between calls and they can ask me questions, or we could work through things in the moment, because that's where you are going to see the most progress, in the moment to moment, right? That's where you create the momentum. That's where you create the true lasting change, is in your day to day. So the 1 hour call or the 1 hour session is so important, but it's what you do after. It's what you do in between those sessions that will really help you come out of that feeling of autopilot, or do things that are meaningful, or practice those shifts where you are feeling drained. And then you can ask yourself just so much better questions, like, what do I need more of? What do I need less of? What am I giving my energy to? Like, what deserves your time? What doesn't deserve your time? What are you saying yes to? What are you saying no to? We say yes so often to people that just expect so many things of us. And what would it look like if you just say no? With no explanation, just say no. With no guilt, it won't make you a bitch. It'll just make you prioritize yourself. Because if you're going to say yes to everyone else, you will just keep getting more and more and more requests. And it could be from your children. It could be from your family. It could be from your boss. It could be just from all over. When you start prioritizing yourself, like you come first, pour into you, and then you're able to say yes and help other people. And, you know, say yes when you mean it. And then those actions and those favors will mean so much more to you because you won't be doing it from a place of guilt or a place from, I have to. The most powerful question, I think, is to ask yourself, like, what's in your heart and what's on your heart to do? When I ask people that question, I automatically see their whole body language change. They begin to close in. They begin to just like cringe. No, open up your heart. Ask your heart what it needs. Ask your heart how it feels like. Just open up that heart center to be able to receive so much from God, so much from others. Just the act of standing a little taller and opening it up, you all of a sudden change your energy because everything is energy. Everything creates an emotional state in you. Everything from how you stand to how you talk to the earrings you're wearing to the places that you go, it all creates an emotional state in you. And you want to be very intentional with what emotional states that you do create, but you also want to be intentional with what doesn't serve you. And I will say, with like feeling drained and being on autopilot and doing for others all the time and not really doing anything for you, I will say, like, what is it costing you? Yeah. What is it costing you? Because time doesn't stop. Time goes by so fast. So what is it costing you by not following through on the things that you want to? What is it costing you by not taking that next step in your business? By not going to an event that you want to? By not calling someone you're meaning to call? Like, just like by not having fun on that time. So just ask yourself that question. Sometimes it hurts, but it also brings up so many answers. So really the common theme here is to ask yourself these questions that stretch you, that challenge you. And when the I don't know comes up and the I don't know, keep going further. Ask yourself, what do you know? What is this trying to tell me? And just like go deeper and deeper and sit still. And I promise you, certain answers will come through because you do know. Because being drained and being disappointed and all those feelings are just like messages that truly show you what you need to prioritize. So just view them all as messages. It shows you, like, this is not the kind of person I want to be. And then when you're feeling excited and you're feeling happy and you're feeling inner peace, that's showing you the things that you do want to do and the things that you do like to do. So lean into those feelings. Get, oh, one more question. I experience a lot of mom guilt. Okay. Oh, guilt. Guilt is a feeling that comes from a lot of I should and I shouldn't, or a lot of thoughts about your child, what you think that they should be, how they're acting, how you want them to act. A lot of, you know, mom guilt is there to like protect you, keeps you a lot of the times. It can keep you away from feeling like mom fear, right? It's a distraction from being afraid for your child. So just come back to telling yourself that I'm doing the best I can with the information that I have, or I'm doing the best I can as a mom. And also communicate with your child, like especially if they're older, like you can actually ask them, like, what do you need? When they come to you with certain issues where you're like, oh my God, is it my fault? Or I feel guilty for that. Or I'm feeling guilty that they're going through this. Know that your child has to go through things to grow, to learn, to build the skills of resiliency, of coping. We cannot fix everything for our child. They have to learn how to fix things. there's a certain point where we can't call the teachers and put them in a group that they want to be in. They have to learn how to be with others that they don't want to be. They have to learn how to speak up when things aren't going their way, always in a respectful manner. They have to learn how to ask for things that they want and they need, again, in a respectful manner. And you kind of just have to know when to get involved and know when to not get involved, right? So we're kind of like on the sidelines as a mom. We also have to let them figure it out because they're on their own journey. They have their own strengths and weaknesses and thoughts, and we can help them move through things versus trying to fix things for them all the time. And you are doing the best you can because being a mom is so beautiful and so gratifying. And it's also like a work in progress. Like there's so many things that you can learn about yourself. And if you are a young mom listening to this, it's the perfect time to make sure that you are pouring into you and making sure that you set those boundaries within yourself. And being a mom actually taught me to be like the biggest advocate, honestly, whether it is doctor appointments, whether it's in school, it's just, again, going into those meetings. And the meetings are with people that are humans, just like me and you. Do we think they have more authority? Of course. But when we go in and we mental rehearse and we actually speak to them and communicate and not be in the whole, I'm not my kid or I'm going to defend my child, like work with them, it becomes not only do you own your voice in those moments when you are speaking for your child, but you also begin again to build that self-trust in yourself and know that everything that you're going through is because you can handle it. I promise you, everything and anything is because God gave it to you because you can handle it. Okay, I think that is all the questions. And until next time.